Well, today was originally intended to be jumping back into the book of Daniel, and that's what we had on the schedule, that's what we had planned. Unfortunately, or sadly, Jim was the one who was going to bring us our message today, but he is not feeling well, he is sick. And so what we have today is one of these pinch-hit surprise sermons, right? They always say, I was always taught in Bible college seminary, you always got to be ready to preach, pray, or die. Just at the drop of a hat, you got to be ready to do anything. And so it's always good to have a couple of sermons just ready to go that you can whip out and bring out. And the sermon that I'm bringing to you today, actually, I've dusted off some old notes. This is something that I've taught before. In fact, I taught this at Pillar before we launched Sunday morning services. And so, in fact, I think the only people in that room at that time would have been my family and the Shopes. All the rest of you are new since then. So you've not heard this message unless you've gone back into the archives of YouTube and found it there. But we're studying this. It's always good to be reminded of why we do what we do, and that's what my emphasis is here today. You know, there are many questions in life where prior information makes the answer obvious, right? There's things that we know, it's just, okay, why are you even asking the question, right? So you think of simple math equations, okay, 2 plus 2 equals 4. Everybody knows 2 plus 2 equals 4 unless you have some kind of crazy worldview where that's not the answer. No, the answer is 4, right? The sun rises in the east and it sets in the West. We just know these things. In fact, some questions that when you ask a question, the answer is so obvious, we might respond with a snarky remark. We may say something like, oh, right. Do fish swim? Do birds fly? Like, yeah, of course. Is the Pope Catholic? Well, you know, maybe that one was not as obvious as it used to be, right? But we have these snarky remarks, right, about that. Just say, oh, of course, the answer is obvious to that question. The rhetorical questions designed to communicate that when an obvious question is asked, that the answer is just that, the answer, that's the point. It's obvious. It's not something they have to think about and figure out. Well, today I'm going to take the opportunity, having this little break in the schedule, to review one of our core values. And truly, for people with our theological convictions, there is a bit of obviousness to this. Well, why do we do what we do? Well, of course, it's because of what we believe. Like, it's obvious to us, and yet it is still good to be reminded of this reality. Just, you know, for a while, it's been a while since we've done this, and this is actually making me think that I need to work this back into our Sunday morning routine once again. There was a period of time where I was doing core value spotlights, where we would just be reminded of our core values. And we have 7 core values. If you were to go to our website, pillarfellowship.org, you could read the core values. We have a brochure sitting on the back table back there that contains our core values. It is good for us to be reminded of the things that we say, we self-profess, these are most important to us. These are the things that need to guide us. We might ask the question, what are core values? What is a core value? Well, if we think about this reality, everybody has values. Everybody has core values. Everybody has a set of principles that they live by. Even if you aren't even able to articulate the value, you have them. Every decision that you make, every choice that is made in accordance with your values. Again, even if you aren't aware of what those values are, they do exist. And sometimes it's actually a helpful thought exercise to think intentionally about your values. Perhaps you find yourself in a situation where, and I know I have been there myself, where perhaps I'm trying to break a bad habit, or maybe I'm trying to take on a new and a good habit, and I'm struggling with it, and I just keep finding myself going back to that old habit, or I find myself not partaking in the new habit that I'm trying to form, and you just, why is this so difficult? What's going on here? And it can be helpful to take a step back and say, okay, what values are guiding my decision-making here? Why am I choosing this thing that I'm trying to kick? What value system allows me to do this? Why can't I make these better choices? It comes back to our values. If you value something highly enough, it will affect how you live. If you value something highly enough, your behavior will eventually match that value. And if you don't, Well, maybe it turns out you didn't value it as much as you thought that you did. I think there's good news with that. I think we can act intentionally to refine our values. We can think critically about the things that we value. I don't want to value this sin anymore. I want to value righteousness. I want this, Lord. And we can pray and we can seek the Lord's guidance. The Holy Spirit helps us with this. The Word of God helps us with this. The people of God, the community of God helps us with this. We can develop the discipline of valuing what God says is right over my own fleshly desires. We can learn that. We can make a conscious effort to adjust, put more energy into the things that we should value until it eventually just becomes second nature. And that's just what we do because we value it. We all have values and we always act in accordance with whatever it is that we are valuing in that moment. Well, that's personal values. An interesting thing about organizations or churches, they have values as well. There's organizational culture, there's church culture, there's company culture, these that exist. And here what we do as a church or how a company conducts their business, how organizations behave, all of that flows from their values. Whatever system of principles that they operate by. So when it comes to an organization or a church like ours, it is important to be intentional about identifying and working consistently toward fulfilling the values that we claim to have. They function like guardrails for us. They keep us on track. For us as a church, they shape how we go about fulfilling the mission that Christ has given to His church. Here at Pillar Fellowship, getting tongue-tied, we have 7 core values. And again, website, that back table back there, brochure back there. And the first one is an obvious one. Or it should be an obvious one. But it is a critical one because it truly does govern the rest. It governs the rest of our values. It leads us to valuing what we value in other places. The first value, if we were to look on the website, it would be this. Sound Bible teaching. We practice expository preaching and teaching with practical application of the whole counsel of the Word of God. And then we have a variety of texts there that explain and carry out how it is that we arrive at that conclusion. Well, my contention for us today is that expository preaching and teaching is the most effective and most faithful method of preaching and teaching available to us today. Expository preaching and teaching is the most effective and most faithful method of preaching and teaching available to us. Why? Why is it so important that we practice expository preaching? Why should that be what we pursue? Well, there are at least 4 reasons for why it is critical that we practice expository preaching. It emanates from what we believe about the Scriptures. It's exemplified in the Scriptures. It's effective for our growth as believers, and it is essential, being commanded by God, that this is what we pursue. First, I would like to begin just by defining expositional preaching. I don't want to assume that we all have a working knowledge of that. Expository preaching is preaching that has as its goal the accurate explanation and application of a given text of Scripture. What does the Bible say? What does that mean? And how do we live in light of that? It's expository preaching. The main point of the sermon is to be derived from the main point of the text. And the text is to be understood according to the words that were given in context. And the meaning is to be explained and appropriate application is to be given. We might contrast that with non-expository preaching. There's different kinds of preaching that is not drawn from the text. It's a scriptural text might be used, but it's used in support of whatever the main point the preacher was trying to get across. It's not drawing meaning from the text itself, but rather it's asserting meaning onto the text of whatever it is that we're trying to communicate. And there's a lot of danger in this. And so in our Sunday school hour, we began looking at the life of William Branham and the things that he taught. We're talking about these different cults. We talked before about Jehovah's Witnesses, and there's these different false teachers, and there's these different preachers that exist. And so many of them, they use the Bible, and then they make it sound like whatever it is that they're saying, that the Bible is supporting whatever it is that they're saying. And that's where it's so deceptive. It can be so, so deceptive. It can sound like the preacher is preaching from the Bible. It can sound like he is saying things that it sounds spiritual and they sound good, they sound nice. But when you actually study those texts carefully, it reveals a different picture. So you have to be careful. You have to pay attention. Expository preaching explains the text and applies it to life. I recently listened to a sermon where the preacher, he wasn't walking through any text of Scripture. He did use the Bible, but he used stories of the Bible to illustrate the point that he was trying to make. And I noticed that throughout his entire sermon, he never once quoted a text, but he just told the stories. Oh, this happens in the book of Judges. This happened in the book of 1 Kings. This happened over here. And he used it, and he just told the story, but he at times summarized his narrative, sometimes inaccurately, but it sounded good, right? It sounded great, like, all right, yeah, that sounds exactly like the point that you're trying to get across. But his Bible was closed the entire time. Never once opened it up to see what the Scriptures say. It's not expositional preaching. Most of the time, expositional preaching looks like walking through passages of Scripture, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. That's called sequential expository preaching. You're just moving through a text. We do need to realize, though, that there can be times where topical preaching can be expository. Now, there are times where it's not expository. But there are times where it can be expository so long as the Scriptures are accurately used and explained. And I would say today's message is more of a topical sermon. We're going to be looking at a variety of texts. We're going to be looking at what the Scripture says about expository preaching. But if I am accurately explaining the Scriptures, then it still qualifies, I believe, as an expository sermon. Okay, so that's what expository preaching is. That's what expository teaching is. Well, why is this our approach? Why is this what we pursue? And we're going to begin with a well-worn text in 2 Timothy chapter 3. As we consider this first point, expositional teaching emanates from what we believe about the Scriptures. It emanates from what we believe about the Scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is God-breathed, that is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped, having been thoroughly equipped for every good work. We believe the Scriptures are God-breathed. We believe it's the very Word of God. In fact, our own doctrinal statement, it says this. We believe, this is the very first point in our doctrinal statement. Again, I think there's a brochure on the back table that contains our doctrinal statement. You can find it on the website as well. We believe that the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the verbally inspired Word of God, the final authority for faith and life, inerrant in the original writings, infallible, and God-breathed. And that's what our text from 2 Timothy tells us. All Scripture is God-breathed. It is literally the breath of God as He speaks. It's coming from Him. It finds its source and its origin in God Himself. When you think about what we believe about the Scriptures, what they are and what they do, it really does make it difficult for us to do anything else but expository preaching. The Scriptures are the very Word of God. The Lord has made Himself known. The pages of Scripture are God's self-revelation to us. They are God-breathed. Scriptures are God-breathed. The Scriptures are true. If these are the words of God, and this really kind of flows from what we believe about the nature and the character of God. If God has spoken, He has spoken truthfully, and so they are inerrant, they are infallible, they are true. This might be the only book in all the world that we can open up and have 100% confidence that it is true. entirely. Because God cannot lie. 2 Peter, talking about how we received the Word, and we talked about this earlier this year when we studied how we got our Bibles. This is 2 Peter chapter 1. I can't get it to advance from my screen here. You may have to push a button there. Get to 2 Peter. Nope, maybe it's not up there. Rewind. That's okay. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 says this: "Know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes by one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by the will of man, but men, being moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God." This is how we got our Scriptures. It's the divine guidance of the Holy Spirit. That men wrote the pages of Scripture, we recognize that. God used human authors to accomplish the task, but they were guided along by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit superintended the process to ensure that, though He used the original author's personalities, motives, purposes, context, etc., all that was preserved, yet the Scriptures still say exactly what Almighty God intended them to say. We believe that the Scriptures are true, they are the very Word of God, and that they are sufficient for us. Again, that passage from 2 Timothy chapter 3. Why has God given us this Word? All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for what? Teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God may be equipped, having been thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thoroughly equipped. I love how it says it is profitable. The Word of God is profitable for these things. Now, when I was a kid, we would go on road trips. There was something that I really liked to do, whether it be, we would go on these penny walks, we would call them. We would go through the gas station, we would be walking around looking for loose change on the ground. You don't really see this as much these days. Now we've kind of gotten away from using cash in society as much. We swipe our credit cards so often. But back when people carried cash and used it all the time, there were a lot of coins going around. People would drop the coins, and the gas station was a fantastic place to look for loose change on the ground. And I would love to find a penny here, a dime there, maybe a nickel, maybe even a quarter if you were lucky. I loved it. Why? I thought it was profitable. I'm making money just by walking through the parking lot, right? I'm finding these things, and I treasure it. Put that effort in. For that, just a few coins, a few cents. How much more value should the Word of God have for our lives when we consider that it is profitable for us? When we consider that we have, it is profitable for teaching, it provides us the goal, the target. This is what is right, this is what we should be pursuing. It provides us reproof. That's revealing to us, hey, you know, you're off track here. You're doing something wrong in this area. Scriptures reveal that to us. Well, not only that, but it provides correction for us. It doesn't just show us what's wrong. It tells us how to fix it. And then finally, training in righteousness, how to move forward towards the goal once again. Scripture is profitable for those things. And I hope that those are things that you would desire in your life. These are things that you would want. Yes, I want to know what is good and right. I want to know if I'm off track on something. And if I am off track, I want to know how to get back on track and how to stay there. Scripture provides that. It provides all of that for us. And then the results, we are thoroughly equipped. Sufficient for our lives. Sufficient for every good work. We pursue expository preaching and teaching. It emanates, it flows out of it, naturally comes out of what we believe about what the Scriptures are and what they do. Second, expositional teaching is exemplified for us in the Scriptures. We have examples of this. When I was in Bible college, I had a professor, and one of the first classes that we would have as a freshman in Bible college was Old Testament survey. And the professor, he would get up and he would begin every year by just sharing a few things about himself, about how he came to faith in Christ, about what he believes about the Bible and the things that he just kind of provides students who never met him before a little bit of context about what he was like, where he was coming from. and he would share his favorite Bible verse. And this was his favorite passage, Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. Ezra had set his heart, there's a determination in his heart, to study the law of Yahweh, the law of God. He was going to study it. He was going to look into the Word of God. He was going to seek to understand what it said and to practice it. It wasn't enough just to study it, to have intellectual knowledge of what the Word of God said. No, he was going to live his life by that. And then to teach his statutes and judgments in Israel. To study, to practice, to do, and then to teach, to communicate what the Word of God said to other people. This was Ezra's focus. This is what he wanted to do. This is what he made his life about. And we actually have an example of a little bit of what that looked like in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, the people have come back into the land. They're rebuilding the wall, and they want to know, what does the Word of God say? They want to be shaped and formed as a community again, as individuals who follow the Lord. God has brought them back into the land. Well, what do we do? So many of them had forgotten the law of the Lord. They have forgotten what God's Word has said, and so there's an opportunity for Nehemiah and Ezra to teach the people. And this is what they did. They read from the book, from the law of God, explaining and giving insights. And they provided understanding for the reading. There's a couple different ways this could be translated. And I actually really like the New King James, where it says they gave the sense. They read distinctly from the law, from the book, from the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. That's what expository preaching and teaching is at root level. Reading the text of Scripture, explaining it, giving the sense. This is what the original author was trying to communicate with these words. This is what's going on here. This is how we understand it in the original language and brings it over into our language and how we can understand it today. And to do so in such a way that aids understanding of the text. What does this text say? What does it mean? And how can I live in light of that? So if you ever walk out of church on a Sunday morning and you don't have a greater understanding of the text of Scripture itself, a preacher's not done his job. I've not done my job. That's the case. Ezra and Nehemiah, they wanted the people to understand. They wanted people to grasp what God has said. And that's my desire as well as a preacher, as someone who proclaims the Word of God. My desire is to help people understand the Word of God. This is what they did. Jumping forward into Acts chapter 20, we find a key text by the Apostle Paul as he is on his way to Jerusalem. He has been revealed to him that as he goes to Jerusalem, chains await him. He expects to be arrested, and that will be the case. He will be arrested, and so he's coming. He gathers the elders of the church of Ephesus together, and he provides them one last address, one last instruction, one last exhortation to the shepherds of the flock to watch out because there will be wolves. They're going to come in. They're going to try to rip apart the flock. So he urges them, and in the midst of this, he provides an explanation, a reminder, hey, this is what my ministry was all about. This is what I did. And it's a good example for us. And we don't have time to read all of what's here, but I'm just going to read us verse 20. It says, I did not shrink back from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house. And he's going to go on in that text. The next verse says about repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then down in verse 27, he says this, that I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God, it says in the LSB, the whole counsel of God, it says in other translations. The whole counsel of the Word of God. Now, it's interesting. Paul was not in Ephesus. We know this from the chronology of, as we read in the book of Acts, Paul was not in Ephesus long enough to do an entire exposition, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, through the entire Old Testament. That's a job that takes years to walk through, and he wasn't there long enough to accomplish that, more than likely. But he was there long enough to communicate the high points, to communicate what he would have considered to be the most important things, the whole counsel of the Word of God. He touched on all the major teachings of Scripture. And so expository preaching and teaching, it can look like different things. It can look like walking through passages of Scripture, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, but it can also look like what Paul likely did in this scenario where he's teaching them the whole counsel of the Word of God, teaching them major teachings of Scripture. We do something like a systematic theology class, I believe, can be expositional Bible teaching if the Scripture is being taught in such a way that accurately reflects what the text say, right? It accurately reflects what the original author intended. And so there are some churches that do that, and Lord willing, by God's grace, we will do that here someday. We will have a systematic theology class, and we'll look at theology. What does the Bible say as a whole on one particular topic? In fact, you could say that this sermon is a small sample of what that looks like. We're talking about the topic of expository preaching and teaching, and what do the Scriptures say about that? But even as we explore things systematically, it still should be expository. We should still look at text and where from which our theology is derived. We still have a responsibility to understand those within their context and not do proof texting and taking things out of context because it supports my theological conclusion. We don't have time to go through every example of this today, but if we were to walk through and see how the New Testament writers used the Old Testament, they used it contextually. They used it contextually. And so we should do the same as well. Expository preaching, I believe, is exemplified for us in the Scriptures. Third, expository preaching and teaching is effective. It is effective. Now, when I say effective, we don't want to take this to mean, oh, we're just going to start sliding into pragmatism. Whatever works, whatever seems to create the desired result, that's what we want to pursue. Nope, that's not the direction that we should go. And yet, it is effective. Why? Because it's the Word of God. It's because it's the Word of God. This is what God's Word says. This statement is to say that if we're going to use the Scriptures, we're going to proclaim the Scriptures, that's the very thing that God has given for our sanctification. So I could read off a variety of verses for us, and this is just rapid-fire verses. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. John 17:17, this is Jesus' prayer. He says, Lord, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. That's how we are grown, strengthened, sanctified. It is by the word of God, the proclamation of the word of God, the saturation of the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:15 says that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 4, verse 12, the Word of God is living, it is active, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit to both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. We already covered 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, that all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for these things, so that we would be equipped. And finally, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This is what the Word of God does. It is powerful. It is effective. And so when we consider all of these things, when we consider what the Word of God is, what the Word of God does, how the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to shape and to mold us, why would we do anything else except study the Word of God and proclaim the Word of God? Why would I look to self-help materials and pop psychology when I have the Word of God? It is sufficient for us. God says He uses His Word to convict and to convert, to save and to sanctify. Why would we go to any other source? I think of the disciples as they're with Jesus, and Jesus says some hard things, and the disciples, some of them say, oh, this is too much for us, we're going to turn away. And Jesus looks at His disciples and says, will you too go away? And they say, Lord, to whom else shall we go? Where else are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Where else would we find that? And that's how I feel about expository preaching and teaching. Why would we go to anything else when this is what the Word of God does within us? There's a certain Bible teacher that before every sermon, he has the entire congregation stand and he has them hold up their Bibles and he has them repeat a kind of confession. And this is what it is. He says, "All right, repeat after me and say it like you mean it," he says. Now, some of you know what this is. "This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I have what it says I have. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name." There's a few more to it. A little bit more to it than that, right? Some of you know that's Joel Osteen. On face value, there's a lot to like about that. There's a lot to say, oh, yep, that's true. I am what the Bible says I am. I have what the Bible says. And yes, I can do what the Bible says. Those things are true. And we should desire to approach the Word of God with an alert mind and a receptive heart to what the Word of God says. And it should change us, right? It should transform us. We should never be the same. We should desire all of that. The sad reality is that particular teacher, as he has that congregation repeat that every single week, every single sermon, and then that Bible gets set down and it gets closed and it never gets picked up again. And stories get told and all of these things happen. And he may make reference to different passages of Scripture, but he doesn't actually study and proclaim what God has said. It's tragic. Joel Osteen, not a preacher I recommend, by the way. Don't pursue after him. False teacher, false gospel. Harmful in so many ways. What's even more sad is that there are many churches who do the exact same thing on a weekly basis. They may confess one thing about what they believe about the Word of God, but then go on ignoring what the Word of God actually says, and we never want to be caught up in that. So many do what can be called springboard sermons, where you have a text of Scripture, and that just kind of is a launching pad to get into whatever topic that the preacher wants to talk about that day. We want to avoid that. We won't want to go down that road. Man's word, pop psychology, motivational speaking, self-help type stuff, that's not what the Word of God directs us towards. We want to be people of the book. We open it, we read it, we study it, we proclaim it. Expositional preaching is effective because it's designed to take the Word of God and apply it to our lives, the very thing that God says is how He grows us. Finally, as we conclude, expositional teaching is essential for our obedience as a church. There is a divine imperative to be about the business of proclaiming the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom," verse 2, "preach the Word." This is Paul's last instruction to Timothy as Paul is about to die for his faith. He's about to be done. He's giving his last exhortations to the church through Timothy. "Preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and teaching." This is what ministers are to do. This is what pastors are to do. This is what churches should desire and should seek. Someone who proclaims the Word of God. Preach the Word. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, he says this, "Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and to teaching." This is the responsibility. This is what we are called to do. This is what I am commanded to do as a proclaimer of the Word of God. This is what you must hold me to. Me, Jim, anyone else who graces this pulpit and preaches, we're to hold him accountable to preach the word. We practice expository preaching and teaching with practical application from the whole counsel of the Word of God because it emanates from what we believe about what the Scriptures are. It's exemplified for us in the Scriptures. It is effective for our spiritual life and growth, and it is essential for our obedience. Just as we conclude, as we think about application of this truth, I just encourage us that we need to seek out churches that do practice expository preaching and teaching. If the Lord would so move you on from Pillar Fellowship at some point, if He moves you for work, if God forbid, if Pillar Fellowship ever ceases to be a place where the Word of God is taught and proclaimed, seek out a church that proclaims the Word of God. That's what you are to pursue. That's what you need to do. Second, we need to hold our preachers accountable. Ask questions. If there's something that wasn't clear, seek to gain that additional clarity. Help. Sometimes, you know, a preacher can preach, and I can be up here, and I think it's perfectly clear, but maybe what I'm communicating isn't just quite hitting. Well, engage with me on that, and we can do better and seek to understand things better. If something ever contradicts what Scripture says, we got to bring that to the preacher's attention, bring that to my attention, bring that to whoever is speaking, bring that to their attention. And finally, we should take delight in God's means of growth for us. God has said, this is what grows us, this is what strengthens us, this is what encourages us. Delight in the Word of God. Delight in the proclaimed Word of God. Our core value is that we practice expository preaching and teaching with practical application from the whole counsel of the Word of God. This is why we preach through books of the Bible. This is why we study on Wednesday nights, moving through books of the Bible, doing inductive Bible study. It's because we value the Word of God. We value its expository proclamation. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the variety of texts that we've looked at today. Thank You for this reminder as we think about a core value. And I do pray that we would always be faithful to this, that we would hold all of our preachers accountable to this, and that we would never stray from Your Word. We would always hold tightly to what Your Word has to say. And keep us in that, Lord. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.